The sermon text for this morning from John chapter 14. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Thus far the words of our text. Please be seated. He is risen. Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you've got to go back a chapter or two and read chapter 12 and 13 of the Gospel of John to kind of start wrapping your heads around why are the disciples so upset? What's going on? Why are the disciples having troubled hearts? Right? We're resurrection people, right? And we're in the season of Easter right now. It's like the fifth Sunday of Easter. And as resurrection people, it might be a little difficult, might be a little hard to remember to wrap our heads around the headspace that the disciples were in when it came to this particular text right here. Our reading takes place at the time of the Passover feast. And what do we read about in the days and the weeks preceding Jesus attending the Passover in Jerusalem? We read in Holy Scripture that the Jewish leaders were plotting to kill Jesus. Remember when Jesus decided to go to Bethany to visit Lazarus' tomb to see Mary and Martha after Lazarus had died? It was Thomas who recognized that this might well be a death sentence for them all. And what he said, "Let us go with him that we may die with him too." You know, this is kind of where they were at in their minds. And after Lazarus' resurrection, Jesus went to Ephraim, and the disciples were well aware that the chief priests and the leaders of the synagogue were seeking to arrest Jesus and have him put to death. The week of the Passover, Jesus spoke of his being lifted up. And that's polite language, which means crucified. His disciples were feeling conflicting emotions. There was all this talk of arrests and crucifixion and being lifted up. And at the exact same time, they have this experience of the triumphal entry as they ride into Jerusalem. Jesus comes in and people shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." You know, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David. Blessed is the King of Israel." And so, you know, you got two things going on in their hearts and minds, you know, their thoughts and emotions. At the Passover meal, Jesus speaks of his betrayal. He says things to them like, "I'm going to be here with you for a little while longer, then I'm going to go away. And where I'm going, you can't follow me." You know, "Peter, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus is like, "Yeah, you will, but not tonight." You know, and Peter did eventually follow Jesus in death. Jesus was right on that. Jesus, though, predicts Peter's denial. And the 12 weren't dense. You know, who's going to betray you? It's the one whom I give this piece of bread to. Gives it to Judas. Go do what you must. And still they, why is Judas leaving? Well, maybe he needs to get something for the poor, or give something to the poor. Maybe he needs to get something for our banquet. They weren't dense guys, but they might be in a little bit of willful disbelief, hoping against hope. And we've probably, many of us have been there, hoping against hope that things are actually going to work out, that it's not going to go down the way you were expecting things to go down. And they're at the same time, you know, they're hoping things are going to work out. And at the same time, the disciples are scared to death of what's going to be happening. And what does Jesus say to them? He knows this. He understands this tension. And he looks at the disciples and said, "Folks, men, stop letting your hearts be in turmoil." Right? They're already in turmoil. He says, stop. It's okay. Stop letting that happen. Easier said than done, isn't it though? Because you and I and all of us seated here, we pretty much know how that goes. We know what it's like to have our own hearts in turmoil. Even when we know better, it's easy to forget the faith that we have confessed our whole lives, forget that our Lord is going to take care of us. It's why we also need to listen to Jesus' words. It's why we need to continually remember to trust that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That Jesus is the only way to God the Father and eternal life. He tells the disciples, you know where I'm going. We don't know where you're going, says Thomas, so how can we know the way? Jesus had often told his disciples of his coming and impending suffering and death. And now he speaks of his departure, his crucifixion, and his subsequent ascension into heaven. Now Jesus tells the disciples what? Just believe in me. Believe in me. I am the way. Well, what way is Jesus? Jesus is the most important way to live and to die. Narrow is the way, the scripture tells us, Jesus said once. Narrow is the way to eternal life, and few are those who find the path. And why is that? Because people want their own path, their own way to eternal life. Right? The way to eternal life, though, is through God's Word. Not through a person's own spirituality, not through a person's own theories, through Jesus to the Father. And that is it. The way to eternal life is through God's Word in the way and means that He, the Creator, has declared. Word and sacrament. That's how our God works. And the way to eternal life is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So when it comes to eternity, how does one quiet an anxious heart? Indeed, how does one settle and calm any anxious heart? The answer is still our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is of one essence with the Father. Like, we know what it's like to have to say goodbye to somebody, right? Maybe several of you have left for basic training or have sent your children to basic training. A job. You know, you leave every morning for your job. And you tell your family, bye, love you, I'll see you in the evening. See you tonight. We've taken kids to school, right? You go and you drop them off at college, and they're all ready and raring to go, but mom and dad, it's hard to say goodbye at that moment. Several of you sitting in here have gone to war. You have left home and said goodbye, not knowing if that was the last goodbye that you will have ever said to your parents, and your parents never knowing if that was the last goodbye that they will ever hear from you. And so many of us have stood by the deathbed of our loved ones and said goodbye to them. Right, so we know what this is like. We know the emotions. We know the turmoil that can come from such a thing. How we get worked up about the future. So how does one quiet their fears about the future? It's by listening to Jesus, who says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Right? In my Father's house. Not necessarily a hotel. We don't have that picture of it. But many dwelling places in the Father's house. Jesus speaks of a permanent place, a dwelling place for all of God's children, all of the redeemed. Well, Jesus is going the path of the cross. He's going to the path of sorrows and suffering so that we may follow Him on the path of peace and everlasting life. And then He will come back. And He will take us to be with Him where He is. Jesus is the way. Not only is Jesus the way, He is the truth. And without Jesus, there is no truth. I, like maybe some of you, had read on your news feeds, whatever we call them these days, that this week, recently, the largest gathering, the largest convention of Satanists, right, gathered together in convention. And likely most of these folks, right, don't even believe that there's a real being, a real creature called the devil or Satan. For them, Satanism is more than likely a path to being libertines, right? Individual rights without the responsibilities of service to one another. Shackled freedom, so to speak, of doing whatever I want just so long as I don't hurt somebody else. But boy, that's pretty difficult to do. These folks are blinded by the very real demonic forces that they probably don't even acknowledge. And they are indeed, yes, they are, children of the devil. As the Epistle to the Ephesians states, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air," that is the devil, "the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." Satan causes people to be lost in lies, just as Jesus' parable of the sower points out. Remember the seed along the path? They are the ones who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes the word away from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. We are told that the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Jesus, on the other hand, is the truth. He came to tell us the truth about ourselves and the truth about God the Father. Jesus came to show us our sins and our need for a Savior. He came to tell us that no one can come to the Father except through Him. Jesus came to tell us that He has prepared a place in heaven for us. Jesus came to tell us that if we believe in Him, we at the exact same time also believe in the Father, and that He and the Father are of one essence. He, Jesus, came to bring us the Word of the true and living God. God's Word, God's truth. He prayed to the Father in His high priestly prayer, "Sanctify them by Your word. Your word is truth." The truth of Jesus brings us peace in our own turmoils, the peace of knowing what our ultimate destiny is. It is true, in this world you will have sorrows. And Jesus says to you, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And in the overcoming of the world, He prepares a place for us by laying down His own life, only to take it up again. He rose from the dead. And He told you this: "Because I live, you will live too." We live in Jesus. He is the life. We believe in truth that the wages of sin is death. We also know that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But what is the gift of God? The gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are we all going to face death? Yes, we will all face it unless Jesus returns first in our lifetimes. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. And in the midst of our contemplations comes again the word of Jesus: "Stop letting your hearts be troubled." Jesus has gone ahead of us to bring us eternal life. As He told His disciples, and so He told Mary and Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, even though he lives, even though he dies, will live. And he who lives and believes in Me will never die." And what did Jesus ask Mary and Martha? "Do you believe this?" And how did the woman respond? "Yes, Lord, we believe that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God who has come into the world." And so you and I believe the same thing about Jesus. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of the living God who has come into the world. Therefore, in the midst of the sorrows and the trials and the troubles and the tribulations of this world, we listen to Jesus: "Stop letting your hearts be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with Me where I am." And we as Christians breathe out in faith: "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.